Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. In an era of resource constraints and evolving security threats, it becomes ever more critical to have leaders that recognize the information component of national power, leveraging information and information technology for strategic advantage. These leaders must be agile and adaptable to meet the national security challenges facing government today and into the future. The National Defense University's iCollege seeks to prepare such leaders, developing the skills, tools, and strategies so they envision and create the future. How is the National Defense University's iCollege expanding its mission as a global hub for educating, informing, and connecting information age leaders? How is the iCollege continuing to enhance its global perspective? And what is the iCollege doing in the area of cybersecurity and cyber leadership? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Dr. Robert Childs, Chancellor of the Information Resources Management College, or iCollege, at the National Defense University. Bob, welcome to the show. It's great to have you back.
Thank you, Michael.
Bob, I'd like to provide our listeners with some context about your organization, which I believe is celebrating its 25th anniversary. Would you provide a brief overview of the history, mission, and evolution of the Information Resources Management, or iCollege, which is part of the National Defense University?
Okay, we're really looking forward to our 25th anniversary, which I'll mention later, but the last 25 years has been a real journey. We started out as the Department of Defense Computer Institute, and then we were supposed to change that and really take a look at how information would influence government, leaders, countries, and how it would be a very important competency that senior leaders would need. So it was moved from the Navy Yard over to the National Defense University. And we started out with a number of courses, but it really took shape with the Clinger-Cohen Act in 1996. And that was a critical point because it gave structure to what we were doing. And we worked with the congressional staffers in putting together the various competencies that were required. And then it's evolved into certificate programs, into a degree program in 2010, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. Along the way, we have added industry students, international students, chairs from the interagency, and a number of things that way to really put us in the position that we're in today.
Well, Bob, how you kind of hinted at it a little bit, but how is the iCollege organized, and what's the size of its budget, number of folks that that work at the institution, and how has it grown both institutionally, but more importantly, physically over the last quarter century?
Okay, we really function like a civilian university, more so than the rest of National Defense University. We have students that come and go. The other major colleges at National Defense University are centered around the 10-month program. The students come in August and they depart in June, and they have a 10-month curriculum that leads to a master's program. Our program is more open-ended. We include distributed learning, online learning. Students can combine that with in-residence classes. So we have students coming and going. So we have to have a registrar function. We have a student affairs branch. Our budget, our direct budget, is about $9 million, but that does not include the building costs, military. I would guess the cost, if you put it all together, would be around $15 million. We have lost considerable resources here within the last 24 months. We've gone from about 85 people down to 60. We've done things at the university. We're doing a lot of consolidations, student affairs with the rest of the university under a one university concept. We're pulling together various things like budgeting, student affairs, different HR functions are being pulled together, logistical functions, things of those sort. So we've taken a pretty good hit. Now, the interesting thing is we actually have increased our student output. And you might say, well, what did you do? Did you have a lot of fat before? Well, the answer to that's no. What we did, we've actually taken our courses and we've lessened the options for students. In other words, you might have had five options before for classes. Now you might, if we offered a course five times a year, we might offer it three now. If we had five electives that you could take, maybe we have three now. So the customization is a little bit less, but what you've done is you've increased the capacity and output. If I had 14 in the class before, I may have 17 or 18 now. So we've had cost savings and efficiencies that way. But it has put demands on the staff. Very, very tough demands. And sequestration and furloughs have played a role in that. It's very, very difficult to manage when every agency is doing it differently. If I'm conducting a week-long course, how do I know if your agency is doing Thursday and Friday, Friday, this week, next week, and every agency is different? So we've had to make arrangements with the different agencies. So it's taken a lot of extra work to schedule around sequestration and furloughs.
Well, what about the students? Who is eligible to enroll, and what's the composition of your student population?
The student body is 70% Department of Defense, and 70% of that are civilians.
Mm-hmm. So, Bob, when you last joined us, your title was, senior director. I think you had become chancellor shortly before you joined us. I want to know a little bit more, what was the impetus for becoming chancellor? And perhaps you could tell us more about your specific responsibilities.
Well, I can tell you the exact moment where the title came. Admiral Rondo was the president of the university, and she and I were returning with the provost and my academic dean from testifying before the Department of Education to get us the degree-granting authority for our master's degree. And we were coming back, and we had had an ambassador over at the Eisenhower School who had had to take over for the commandant. And they were trying to determine a name, and they came up with chancellor. And she said, well, now, Bob, she said, you really ought to be a chancellor for a number of reasons. One, you're now a degree-granting institution. And if you take a look at universities, senior directors are not really heads of institutions. Also, the international impact, and we were doing, under Admiral Rondo, we were doing an awful lot of international outreach. So I was literally traveling and meeting with ministers of defense in different countries. I was working with universities who had the title of chancellor. And your title makes a big difference in international relationships and who you meet and the level you get into. So she thought that was really important. Plus, we were the largest school in total number of students at National Defense University.
Interesting.
So she thought that title was far more appropriate than senior director. And it has had a big impact. I have to admit, you are definitely treated differently because of title.
And your role is really your strategic vision, basically? You set the division for the...
My role is what any executive would have, but basically it's strategy, it's vision, it's outreach, it's connections. I'm Mr. Outside.
But you brought up challenging, and I think I want to delve down a little bit into that with your duties and responsibilities. What are some of your top challenges that you face, and what are you doing to address them?
Obviously, the budget. That's number one, and that actually drives the other considerations. The first thing you have to worry about is the human side of things, and the sequestration and the cuts that have taken place. People are unsettled. They're concerned about this. You've gone 3 years without pay raises. And one of the things that I've always tried to do is create an environment where people could be innovative and creative and then try to reward those people. As part of that, professional development is very, very important, particularly in the field that we're in. The shelf life of my faculty members' knowledge is a lot shorter than people that are teaching historical things or law or things of that sort. It's changing, as you know, extremely rapidly. The other thing that's being cut is our capability for, if you will, research and development. Mm-hmm. We're not exploring some of the things that we used to explore. We're doing it as much as we can. We have research assistants from colleges. These are young people that are in master's and doctoral programs, some undergraduate students. And that number has been cut back, and they do a lot of the work in our labs and everything, but we've had to cut back.
Well, Bob, you know, leading an organization, an educational institution like the iCollege can be fraught with unanticipated or unexpected surprises. I was wondering, what has surprised you most recently in your role? And more importantly, since you've taken over, you've truly transformed the institution. And I want to know what surprised you and what makes a good leader?
Well, the speed of technological change, we all know about it, but it's amazing. The rise and fall of companies. One of the things that I do that's really helped me in my job is I pay a lot of attention to the stock market, and I subscribe to Motley Fool. And I read their reports on companies all the time because they have to analyze industries and everything, and they talk about first movers, and if you follow Clayton Christensen, disruptive technologies and everything. So the speed of technological change is number one. Number two is the number of people that are leaving the federal government in senior leadership positions. And every day I look up and somebody is leaving. So my concern is in the cyber area, and it's cyber leadership. We now have a lot of people making decisions that haven't grown up knowing all the things. They're kind of learning as they go. So I'm concerned about that area. As far as leadership, had a huge, huge impact on me was Dr. George Johnson, who's president of George Mason University. And he taught me to focus on a few good things. And that's the way he built George Mason. He also taught me to be disruptive. The next individual that comes to mind is Paul Gaffney, who is Vice Admiral President of National Defense University back about 2000. And currently he's finishing up presidency for 10 years at Monmouth University. What he taught me is support the people that work for you and create an environment where they can achieve success, give them a little guidance, give them support, but don't be on their back all the time with details. And he was really, really good at that. That went a long way. And there's one more individual I'd like to mention, and that's Coach Mike Krzyzewski down at Duke. And he taught me that you bring people in, you make a team. It's not about individuals. It's about the team. And he has a thing called next play. In other words, you make a mistake, you might analyze it, put it behind you, next play. Let's get on with it.
How is the National Defense University's iCollege expanding its mission as a global hub for educating, informing, and connecting information age leaders? We will ask Dr. Robert Childs, Chancellor of the iCollege at the National Defense University, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.